This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105 Radio.
And it's a real pleasure to welcome into the studio my first guest this afternoon. It's Trevor Chapman. Trevor's from Anglia. I'm trying to get that right. Hearing and Tinnitus Solutions. Is that right, Trevor? Did I get it right?
That's great. Good morning. Oh, should I say good afternoon?
Good afternoon for me. Tinnitus Awareness Week. As a tinnitus sufferer, I'm going to be on your case on this one, learning as much as I can.
Right.
It is a thing about awareness, isn't it, as well? Tell us about tinnitus. What is it? How do people get it?
So tinnitus is the definition of tinnitus is very broad. Mm. It can be any sound you hear in one ear or both ears or in your head. It could be a variety of sounds or one particular sound. So it could be whistling, chirping, crickets, buzzing, whooshing. It could be a high frequency, it could be a low frequency, it could be a multiple of sounds, it could come, it could go. Essentially, it's any sound that you can hear that doesn't exist in your environment would be termed tinnitus.
Okay, and at what point is it a problem, or is that down to the individual?
That's a fantastic question, and the answer is exactly that. It's down to the individual. Our perception of our tinnitus changes. So some people are more prone to have a more negative response or more negative perception of their tinnitus, and other people can just simply get on with it. And so in our clinic, we find it quite interesting to meet lots of different people with tinnitus and understand what are their mechanisms and what are their triggers and what are the causes for tinnitus, and understand how we can help them best deal with their tinnitus as well.
And when do people come to you? I think we all get these sudden bursts of sound. I mean, I know, certainly talking amongst my own family, you know, you'd be sitting there suddenly, you go, I've just had a loud burst, you know, big beeping sound in my left ear, and it fades. So is it a case of the day that you wake up and you find that high-pitched noise is there and it hasn't gone away? Is that when people tend to turn to you?
So that does happen. Sometimes you have that sudden burst of sound, or you have the gradual onset of tinnitus, or you wake up one morning and it's just there. Most people tend to, for a few days at least, will think, what's this going on in my ears? If it becomes quite problematic, they normally head over to their GP. And I think what tends to happen after a while, through a bit of frustration, they probably end up on our doorstep, and we end up having to have a long discussion with them about their tinnitus and the causes and the treatments that there are available for it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure I'm not alone here either at Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm sure speaking to quite a few of my colleagues, there's a few of us here have got it. My own one, though, it turned up, must be 12 years ago now, 2007, and I literally woke up one morning and I felt there was this high-pitched ringing in my ear, and it felt like there was a blockage. I wasn't hearing the top-end stuff, and I thought, I must have wax in my ears and everything. Went in the shower, stuck my finger in my ear, probably the wrong thing to do, but that hasn't cured it. So I thought, okay, well, let's do the warm olive oil bit. And then I phoned up the GP, got the nurse to, I said, I need to come in, I need to get my ears syringed. Went in, she said, you haven't got any wax in your ears. I thought, now we've got a problem, because I was rather relying on this all clearing. And I went to Addenbrookes and they did an MRI scan, did some tests and everything. And effectively, I was really quite frustrated, because I thought, you know, I've lost the hearing at the top end of my hearing. I've got this high-pitched whistle, and it's you can't turn it off. It's so irritating. It's just there. And then I went to Addenbrookes and they did all their scans and they said, well, you know, you're clear. This is, yeah, you've got tinnitus, but there's nothing wrong. At that point, I said to the guy, so it's not going to kill me then? He said, no. And at that point, my brain seemed to just go, okay, we'll ignore it then. And since then, apart from the fact it's popped back now because I'm talking about it, I don't hear it.
So that's very, very common. So number one, information is key. Mm. So what you've done is great. You've woken up in the morning, you thought there was something in your ears, you've tried to treat it yourself, you've gone to the doctor, they've had a look in your ears, they've sent you down to Addenbrookes, they've done all the tests and come back and said, well, there's no cause that we can see for your tinnitus. And in which case, your question is quite common. So is this going to be something quite dangerous?
Yes. Or
am I going to be all right because of this? And the response is great, that no, you're fine. And so psychologically, our brains turn off and say, well, okay, then if it's not dangerous, if it's not going to hurt me and I understand more about it, then I'm not going to focus on it as much.
Mm.
So through some of the research that's been done in tinnitus globally, there's been a few very important breakthroughs for us just recently, and that's understanding some of the triggers or some of the driving factors behind tinnitus. And one of them is our memory. And right. So, as you said now, as we're talking about it, you can start hearing.
Yeah, yeah, it's going, oh, yeah, I've got a nice whistle in my right ear again at the moment.
What's probably happening out there in listener land, if that's the term, is a few listeners who have tinnitus will start thinking, well, hang on, we're now listening to people talk about tinnitus on the radio, and I can start hearing my tinnitus more.
Right.
And so that's because we're now talking about it, we're focusing on it, our memories are drawing up the sounds that we've heard, so we tend to focus more on the sounds that we're hearing. So one of the treatment paths that we're looking at the moment is, how do we disrupt that memory process? How do we disrupt people from waking up in the morning and saying to themselves, oh, my tinnitus has disappeared, I remember it last night, and it's not, oh, hang on.
Yeah, now it's back again. Yeah.
So how do we stop that from happening? How do we change the memory pathway? How do we get people to remember other things and not just their tinnitus? The other part of the the driving forces behind tinnitus is our perception, and this is a big one. Some people will turn on to us and say, yeah, my tinnitus is absolutely soul-destroying. It's something that I can't live with. It's I'm isolated because of it. Nobody understands what I'm feeling.
Well, you never hear silence. That is the trouble, isn't it?
Correct.
Because when you think, oh, good, it's nice and quiet, then that's when, as you're saying, your memory, you go, oh, yeah, but don't forget you got your whistle. And so, yes, it is. It's very, it can be, I can imagine. My mother used to have, she could always hear her pulse in her ear. It came in later in life. And she did say sometimes that she was, like any elderly person, she would spend quite a lot of her day on her own.
Yes.
And she just said, I have to have the television on, I have to have the radio on, because if I just sit, it drives me mad.
And so quite a few good things come out of that conversation is that we understand that when we can mask our tinnitus with environmental sound, so these could be the TV, the radio, hopefully Cambridge 105, or any other sorts of sounds in our environment, we can help mask our own tinnitus more often than not. Our perception of our tinnitus is one thing that we really try and focus on with our clients, because if we can help them perceive the tinnitus in a less problematic way or in a less intense way, then we start feeling better about the sounds that we can hear and it stops being as intrusive. But that's quite a... It takes quite a bit of understanding of what's going on.
I was going to say, and it was very interesting, because when you first came in, I mean, as I said earlier on, quite a lot of us here have got it, and the common, I think, probably misconception would just say, well, of course you do. You're all DJs, you all wear headphones. You probably don't want to see how loud I have my headphones. You probably wouldn't be very happy with me. And obviously we spend quite a lot of time out at festivals and gigs and things. But I've carried earplugs for quite some time now. And I always do put those in provided the music's not too loud. And for me, this was, I woke up one morning, I hadn't been to a gig the night before, and I think a lot of us do get that when you come out of a gig and you can hear the ringing in your ears. Hadn't got that. But you were saying that, well, it might have been something else, like stress. And I thought, do you know what? 2007, when mine started, that was probably one of the most stressful years of my life.
So there's lots of causes for tinnitus. Stress and anxiety is one of them. Disease is another one. We have trauma, so people have accidents, motor vehicle accidents, and they'll have tinnitus. We can have hearing loss. We can have noise exposure. So noise that you hear, which causes hearing loss, and noise-induced hearing loss, and tinnitus go hand in hand. I'll give you an example of one of our clients that we're treating at the moment who has tinnitus, and his is related to stress. And what we figured out through our consultations is when he becomes even more stressed, his tinnitus ramps up and he becomes more aware of his tinnitus and therefore becomes more frustrated because of his tinnitus. And by trying to change the way he thinks about his tinnitus, we've got his tinnitus from being something that's negative to being something that's positive. Now, positive in the sense that he now has a barometer that he can measure his stress levels.
That's a very good point.
So when he feels stressed, his tinnitus ramps up, then he realizes the tinnitus is a symptom of his stress.
So he needs to start and take it easier.
He deals with the stress, the tinnitus comes down, and off he goes again.
That is fascinating. So let's look at this then in a gentle, sort of a more logical way. When should people first think to themselves, right, I need to get this looked at? And what sort of, is it come to see someone like you and get an analysis of it first? Or, I went to see my GP, but that's perhaps not necessarily the best route. By the sound of it.
So, first of all, let's look at the prevalence of tinnitus. So, about 30% of the population will experience tinnitus at some time.
Right.
And 10% of the population will have tinnitus consistently.
Right.
There are certain sorts of tinnitus that you can hear that would ask, or will be prompted to say to you, go over to your doctor and have a look at it. So you mentioned your mum had tinnitus that sounded like her pulse.
Mm-hmm.
So pulsatile tinnitus is one thing we definitely want to get checked out by a GP. Tinnitus on one side is something we want to get checked out by a GP as well. And in actual fact, in most cases, probably when you have tinnitus, it's probably not a bad idea to go and have it checked out by a GP anyway. There might be something else that's causing the tinnitus in itself. If we can't find anything through the GP route, then absolutely give us a call, come and see us, and we'll go through the process with you and see what we can do. There are other places you can go for help and support as well, such as the British Tinnitus Association. And so this week is a British Tinnitus Association's Tinnitus Awareness Week. Try say that.
Yes.
It's a tongue twister indeed. So they have their week's focus as tinnitus in isolation. So on their website, which is tinnitus.org.uk, they have a lot of good information about tinnitus. There's a lot of resources out there about tinnitus. There are tinnitus support groups. So there's lots of places where you can go and get the help you need or the information that you need. And more often than not, as with you, when you went to the doctor and you went to Adam Brooks and you had the discussion with them, once they said to you there was nothing wrong, there was nothing that they could see, there was nothing dangerous, your brain said, well, there we go.
Just
get on with it and keep on going and ignore it.
And it just works
the
back.
So the more information we can have ourselves and the more we can arm ourselves with that information, the better we can deal with our tinnitus as well.
Is there any danger that one type of tinnitus leads to another, or is it just a case of if you get the high-pitched whistle, that's probably going to be what you're stuck with?
It all depends on what the cause of the tinnitus is.
Right.
So there are some tinnituses, again, try to say that with a mouthful of teeth.
There's got to be a shortcut you use in the office. He's got tin.
The one with tin in it. So there are some sorts of tinnituses that we do really want to check out and be aware of. So low rumbling sounds, that could be a sign of a disease.
Right.
So definitely go have it checked out by a GP. Sometimes tinnituses can change from a whistling to a whooshing to a buzzing to a clicking. And that could just be your nuance. That could just be your particular sound that you hear. And in other cases, it could just be that you have the same sound for the rest of your life.
Right. Okay. And is there going back to what we were saying earlier about youngsters, I mean, we were talking about this before we came in, youngsters and awareness. My own son has turned around to me in the past and said, he's 22 now, and he said, well, yeah, I've had that high-pitched whistling sound. And I can remember back now, as I said to you before we came on air, I can remember being young, 7, 8, 9, something like that, and saying to my mum, when it's quiet, there's this high-pitched whistle, and my mother's saying, well, don't be ridiculous, no. I mean, this was the 60s when half the things we suffer from now were just brushed off with don't be so silly. But are there things we should be aware of with youngsters, and are there steps we should take to try and reduce this? You're saying 30% of people may have it, 10% have it long-term. Are there steps we can take with our children, the obvious steps or more tricky steps to try and minimise the risk of getting this?
So we're becoming more and more aware that tinnitus is present in children, adolescents, and we're becoming more aware of it because we're starting to ask better questions of our children and of our adolescents. So for example, asking your child when it's quiet, is it quiet or do you hear anything?
Right.
And so the interesting thing is that when we have children who suffer with tinnitus, maybe I shouldn't use the word suffer because they don't really suffer with it.
Yeah, just
they just hear it as a sound.
It was there when I was young.
Exactly. Yeah. So for them, it's a normal sound. And so this is almost the goal we're trying to get to with tinnitus treatment, is how can we make the sound that we hear normal?
Right.
How can we take away the fear of it or the anxiety surrounding it or the worry that it causes? How can we make the sounds that we experience normal? And therefore, if it's normal, not intrusive and not something that takes our focus away from doing tasks, something that becomes something that we become habituated to or we can listen to and not worry about. And that's the goal.
Right. And looking forward, is there treatments and research on the horizon, or is this something we're just learning to understand? There's not necessarily going to be a cure for, but we can get your head around this a little bit better.
So there's a large amount of research into tinnitus taking place every day of the week all over the world. Tinnitus is something that we're researching a lot. Unfortunately, at the moment, there's still no cure for it, but there are a number of treatment options. And these treatment options go from heading down to the GP, seeing what's going on. It could be something that can be treated with medicine. It could be something that could be treated with the use of a combination device like a hearing instrument and a sound generator, or just a sound generator. It could be something that's treated with a bit of counseling. And in most cases, the psychology behind synthesis is something that's really interesting.
Right.
So how do we get people to associate non-negative feelings towards something that is just an object?
Yeah.
So what we do in our clinic, which is quite interesting, is we look at tinnitus as being something that has no emotion. It's a phantom sound that you hear. It is a sound. We hear other sounds, and we're not bothered by them. And some people feel bothered by tinnitus because it's something that they can't control and they can't escape from. So that causes a bit of worry and a bit of anxiety and a bit of stress. So how can we stop ourselves from feeling like that about a sound which has no agenda, it has no emotions attached to it? And that's the trick.
That sounds wonderful. If people want to find out more, both about tinnitus and about what you do,
so
how do they get hold of you?
Again, the British Tinnitus Association is a fantastic organisation. Their website, again, is tinnitus.org.uk. There's a great amount of information on there. There are tinnitus support groups. You can obviously come and see us at Anglia Hearing in Great Shelford. For the month of February and March, we're doing free tinnitus assessments.
Right.
Our phone number is Cambridge 661399, or you can get hold of us on our website and book an appointment straight from the webpage. Head to your GP if you feel there's something else that needs to be looked at.
It's just not something to ignore, is it? It could be the sign of something, but it also, in which case, you want to get it checked out anyway, or it could just be something that's annoying, but you know what, with a bit of talk, it won't affect you in the way that you think it's going to.
I think at the moment, more people are becoming more and more aware of looking after themselves and looking after their hearing in particular. So earplugs at noisy concerts is a good start. Reducing the amount of time you listen to headphones and your music on full volume through your phone or through your MP3 player, and just being aware of the things that are going around with you and being mindful of where you are in your present state.
Lovely. Trevor, it's been so good of you to come in this afternoon. Thank you. It's Tinnitus Awareness Week all week, and it's tinnitus.org.uk.
Tinnitus.org.uk for the British Tinnitus Association.
If you want to find out more on Anglia Hearing and Tinnitus Solutions in Great Shelford, if you want more details. I've got to tell you my final story, though, which is it isn't always a bad thing, because my high-pitched whistle was also associated with loss of the high-end hearing. I can't hear above 4 kcs in 4 kilohertz in my right ear. And I was camping once with my son, and he was about, I don't know, 14, I think, at the time, and I said to him, what's the matter? He was mucking about. It's late at night. I said, what's the matter, Jace? I can't sleep, Daddy. It's the crickets. I said, what crickets? He said, the noise of the crickets. And I was lying with my bad ear facing up. My good ear was into a pillow. I turned the other way. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, if I turn this way, I can't hear them. Good night. I had a really good night's sleep. I really did. So, you have to learn to take a negative into a positive.
Every cloud is a silver lining.
Absolutely. I had a good night's sleep that night, so it's not always a bad thing. Trevor Chapman, thank you very much indeed for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.